Let's continue reading verses 18 through 29 of Genesis chapter 27. In these verses, we have the account of Jacob lying to his father and deceiving Isaac into thinking he was his favorite son Esau, and then receiving Isaac's blessing. Genesis chapter 27, verse 18. So he, that is Jacob, went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Once again, let's consider a few background notes. Back in Genesis 25, we have the account of how Jacob tricked Esau into selling him his birthright. This was when Jacob and Esau were younger. I'm reading Genesis chapter 25. Verses 29 through 34. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what profit shall this birthright be to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The birthright and the patriarchal blessing here in Genesis 27 were very closely connected. We know from very ancient extra-biblical records that birthrights could be sold in those days. And the transaction was legally binding, just as the patriarchal blessing. It seems here that Rebekah and Jacob were concerned that Isaac's determined efforts to bless Esau would override the transaction of the birthright. In any case, Rebekah came up with a plan to outsmart Isaac, and Jacob went along with it. The plan involved Jacob pretending to be Esau, and it worked. Isaac gave Jacob the blessing. But notice how Jacob had to lie directly to his father to make the plan work. Verse 19, Jacob said to his father when his father asked him, "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." That was a lie. "I have done just as you told me." That was a lie. "Please arise, sit and eat of my game." That was a lie. In verse 20, when Isaac said, "But how have you been able to find this game so quickly?" Jacob said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." That was a lie. Notice, by the way, how Jacob does not say, "The Lord my God," or "our God brought it to me." "The Lord your God brought it to me." Jacob was not walking with the Lord at this point. And then in verse 24, when Isaac asks again, "Are you really my son Esau?" Jacob said, "I am." He lies again. The patriarchal blessing is here in verses 27 through 29. Notice how it includes material prosperity. Verse 28, "Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine." And notice how it includes the promise of power. Verse 29, "Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you." And then notice how the Abrahamic covenant is part of this blessing. Verse 29, "Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, lying and deceiving have bitter consequences. Lying and deceiving have bitter consequences. If ever you're looking for a chapter in the Bible to prove that lying and deceiving do not pay, this is it, Genesis 27. This is not a happy chapter of the Bible. Look at the family friction and family fragmentation here. It's all a result of lying and deceiving. All the members of the family are mentioned here in this chapter, but they are never seen together as a family. Isaac and Rebekah are never seen together here as a husband and wife. It's just another way that this scripture is emphasizing the family fragmentation that comes from lying and deceiving. Lying and deceiving have bitter consequences. Before this chapter is over, Jacob will have to flee for his life because of the hatred of Esau. Rebekah will never see her favorite son again, as far as the biblical record goes. Oh, the bitter consequences of lying and deceiving. Is there lying and deceiving going on in your family? Expect bitter consequences. Husbands, are you lying to your wives about anything? Wives, are you deceiving your husbands about anything? Parents, are you manipulating your children in any way? Children, by that I don't mean just little kids or even teenagers. Are you lying and deceiving your parents in any way? Expect bitter consequences. Illustration. As you know, Margie and I just moved into this apartment complex. And we've met a number of new people. Many of them have very sad stories to tell. There are many single people in the complex that are products of broken marriages. The bitter experiences they share invariably stem from lying and deceiving in relationships. But remember, whether it's in a family or fellowship or wherever, lying and deceiving will always have bitter consequences. Doctrinal point number two, lying and deceiving cannot thwart God's purposes. Lying and deceiving cannot thwart God's purposes. We certainly see that truth taught in this chapter. In spite of the lying and deceiving on the part of Rebekah and Jacob, in spite of the attempts of Isaac to circumvent the will of God, in spite of the family friction and family fragmentation, God's purposes were not thwarted. They were not messed up. They were not wrecked or overthrown. God's purposes were carried out. Jacob was to receive the blessing, and Jacob was blessed. Now remember, this fact in no way condones the lying and deceiving. Lying and deceiving are sins, and those who practice lying and deceiving will be judged for these sins. But lying and deceiving cannot thwart God's purposes. Maybe some of you are in situations right now where you are surrounded by lying and deceiving. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your place of work. Be encouraged. Lying and deceiving cannot thwart God's plan and purpose for your life. Lying and deceiving cannot thwart God's purposes. Practical application. Practical application number one. Your first lie will not be your last lie. Your first lie will not be your last lie. Notice how Jacob had to lie again in verse 20 to cover up his first set of lies there in verse 19. Isaac has said, "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Notice how the lie of verse 20 must be told if the set of lies in verse 19 are to be covered up. That's the way lying is. You have to keep on lying to try to cover up the inconsistencies of your former lies. I'm sure you're aware of certain politicians in our country in high office that are a sad illustration of this principle. You see, truth is like a giant jigsaw puzzle. Each piece of truth fits in with all the surrounding pieces. Now, if you change one piece or force it, then all the surrounding pieces are disrupted and distorted. Therefore, more lies are told to try to straighten out the disruption and distortion. But it only forces more pieces in the jigsaw puzzle out of joint. It's a never-ending cycle. Your first lie will not be your last lie. And usually, as illustrated here, your lies have to get bigger to cover up the former lies. Notice how Jacob brings God into the picture in verse 20 in his lie, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Do you ever notice how little children, when they lie, eventually bring God into the picture? "Jimmy, did you take that cookie?" "No." "Well, Jimmy, who do you think took that cookie?" "I don't know. Maybe Denise took that cookie." "No, Jimmy, we asked Denise, and she wasn't around, so we know that Denise didn't take that cookie." "Well, maybe God took the cookie." There you go. Always it seems that little kids, you know, bring God into the lying before long. Well, adults are just big children when it comes to lying. Eventually, the character of God is maligned. Don't ever start lying to protect yourself, or don't ever start lying for any other reason. Your first lie will not be your last lie. Practical application number two. Watch out that you are not deceived in the area of your weakness. Watch out that you are not deceived in the area of your weakness. Isaac's palate was his weakness. He loved the wild game dishes that Esau served. This led to his deception. The real deception here was satanic. Satan knew that Isaac's weakness was his strong desire, maybe uncontrollable desire, for food from the field. Satan capitalized on this. Do we have any weak areas? What about the area of sex? What about the area of money? What about the area of things? Satan will try to use these areas to deceive you. Many Christians have fallen this way. Watch out that you are not deceived in the area of your weakness.